Cheers.
Okay. Cheers, Jordan.
Cheers. Welcome to Foregone Frontiers,
the
everybody.
Very first one.
We're drinking ranch waters. It's our house drink.
Welcome right now. To our home. Welcome to our home. And anytime you come over to our house, we will have a cocktail ready to go for you. So.
Yeah. Welcome to Foregone Frontiers. This was Steve's baby.
It was. My buddy Jason, who's behind the camera over there, you can't see him. We were sitting down and chatting one day, and we had this idea to just have a cool space to tell people's stories around like taking these big risks in their lives. And we spent a ton of time trying to figure out what the best name was. And well, of course we love alliteration, but also just this idea of people blazing their own trail brought us to calling it Foregone Frontiers. And really what that means is, frontiers is like people just going kind of where nobody has gone before and trying these risky things and doing things that aren't super safe and not quote unquote normal. Something that I always say is like their parents probably hung their head a little bit when they told them what they were going to do with their lives, but then now they're doing really, really cool things. And then the foregone piece just being foregone, just meaning that it was inevitable. It wasn't this kind of like conscious decision of hey, I'm going to go take this big risk, but there was something that all these people that we're going to talk to, there was something in them that made them have to go do this thing that on the surface honestly doesn't make sense. The conversations that we're having are really cool because they're just, these people are doing things that are just like, man, like on a piece of paper, there's no reason anybody should do this, but there was something in them where they kind of had to redefine what success looked like for them to try this thing.
Yeah. Kind of like you.
Kind of like me.
Kind of like you. We yeah. are in the fragrance business. Steve started Ranger Station in 2015.
Way back when.
We were dating at the time. And I worked for the girl that did Steve's branding. And I was a wardrobe stylist at the time. So I styled all of the photo shoots. I made the website for Ranger Station. Meanwhile, Steve just randomly made a candle at his house that he poured into a cocktail glass. And he told his dad, let's tell that story.
I always say that I have had the privilege of proving my dad wrong multiple times in my life. When I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, or the suburbs of Minneapolis. And when I always kind of grew up with this idea of success looking like working really, really hard in school so that I could go to a good college and get a good job and make a bunch of money and retire early, right? And there was something about that always didn't feel right, because it always just felt like it was a means to an end. And I was just like, it felt like I enjoyed school and everything, but there was something about it that I always thought to myself, and then what? If I made a bunch of money and retired early, then what? Like, you know.
Steve's always going.
Yeah, I'm really bad at sitting still.
How could you stop?
That's a whole nother episode. But, at the time I was falling in love with playing music. And this was way before I even got into fragrance. I fell in love with playing music, and I had this really cool experience when I was a senior in high school, still thinking like, hey, I'm going to go be at the time I thought I was going to be a doctor or something like that. And, I had this really cool experience where the guy I was studying drums with, Steve Gould, we were sitting down in lessons one day, and it wasn't like a crazy moving moment or anything like that, but almost off the cuff, he looked at me and said, hey, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but if you wanted to, I think you've got what it takes to pursue a career in music. And in the matter of about 5 minutes, I had changed the whole course of my life, because after that,
I would say that was a crazy moving moment.
It was for me. I just like, it wasn't like he stopped and was like, no, listen, Steve, like you need to reevaluate your life. He kind of just said it really quick and we moved on with the lesson. And pretty quickly, that piece of me that never felt right about just making good grades to go to a good school and all this stuff, everything kind of felt like it fell in place, where all of a sudden I was like, wait, music to me was always something that was worth it just for the sake of doing it. It was never a means to an end, but it definitely didn't make sense by any means. So there I was at the first time I ever freaked my dad out, where both of my parents have always been very, very supportive. Let me get that right. But I was like, Dad, I'm going to take all my life savings and I'm going to spend it on a new drum set and I'm going to move to Nashville to play music. And he was like, you probably need a backup plan. I don't know if that's the most stable thing. And definitely was not. But I moved to Nashville and I went to Belmont University, which is where Jordan and I met. We'll get to that. But once I graduated, I toured full time for about 4 years and absolutely loved it. Toured as a drummer, and those are some of my favorite memories. I absolutely loved doing it. But there was this moment where Bob Seger is like my dad's all time favorite artist still today.
He's a legend.
Absolute legend.
Like a rock.
And I was playing for this artist and we were opening for Bob Seger. So it was this moment where my dad finally was like, oh, you turned this crazy idea of playing drums into an actual career.
Well, your dad got to go to the show and he got to go backstage and see Bob's someone stamping out his cigarette on the way up to the stage. Yeah, like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my dad turned to me at one point and was like, Bob Seger, just give me a thumbs up.
Which he for sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Determined. Fact check that later.
And that what I was there at a different show, but it was so freaking cool.
It was so cool. And it was this hilarious moment because my dad was like, you did it. You turned this into a career. And I was like, yeah, Dad, but I think I'm going to quit playing drums now and I'm going to go make candles. And he kind of did that exact same thing where he was like, you're going to do what? And what was kind of happening in my life at that time was I'd had the best time touring, but I knew some people are cut out for that life, but I knew long-term I didn't want to live my life on the road. I just started dating Jordan and I knew I wanted to have a family and all this stuff. So I knew that I didn't want to live. I was gone more than I was home. And the touring schedule is just really weird because there was nothing regular about it. I'd have months on end when I was gone. I'd have months on end when I was at home. I, like Jordan said, I'm really, really bad at sitting still. And
when he's home, he's like home with nothing to do. Like from a tour.
Yeah.
It's like his job is out on the road. So when he's home, it's like endless weekend, which is really weird. It's a totally weird state of mind to be in.
It's very boring, honestly, until you leave again. And when I was at home, I hadn't seen my friends in a really long time. So Nathan, my roommate at the time, and I, he was touring as well. So we'd have all of our friends over to the house and we'd make them cocktails and I'd always have a candle burning. And
we were like classy young people that had cocktail parties instead of like.
Yeah, we were the classiest young people. We were the classiest 23-year-olds I knew for sure.
Yeah.
So it was this really cool time. And I was on a musician's budget developing this really expensive candle habit and running out of money. So one day I decided that I was going to just learn how to make candles for no other reason than because I had time to do it and I needed something to do when I was at home. So started doing that. And then
you had the idea to actually like, sustainability was really big at that time. Like it was this buzzword but Steve had already been pouring the candles into cocktail glasses at his house. He was like, wait, what if this is the business? Like this makes a lot of sense. It could be poured into a cocktail glass. You've got a drinking glass at the end. I vividly remember this conversation and I was like, yeah, that's it. That's it.
I almost lost Jordan for a second there. Cause we went on our first date. And Jordan still didn't know that I made candles. And then she came over to my house for a group thing. And somebody asked me about the candles. And they were like, how's
Courtney
making the candles go?
Shout out to Courtney. She was like, I love that candle. How's the candle stuff going? And I was like, what are you talking about? You made a candle. That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
For a second there, Jordan was not going to go on a second date with me for sure. But then I was like, don't worry. I was determined to keep her. So I was like, don't worry. They're really cool candles. And I put them all in whiskey glasses. So when you're done with the candle, you got a glass to use. And then you were like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, I did think it was a really cool idea. And, Steve is more of a, in our relationship, Steve is very thoughtful, very thorough, a more fear-based personality. He likes
six
to have
on the Enneagram. Shout out to my sixes.
He likes to have a safety net. I am like, people in meetings are like, Jordan, please slow down. I am 100 miles an hour. Like there's no plan.
But you should think this through.
Yeah. Like if there's a good idea, I'm chasing after it. So I was there. And so, I mean, a few years into Ranger Station, it truly was started as something that it was what you were going to do right then. And yeah. Then it really did just naturally attract awesome people and awesome buyers and customers and all this stuff. And I was so amazed from my work experience. Like, I was working for a cool company too. We were working really hard. It was a bigger company than Steve's. But we were just spinning all the time doing these cool things. But Steve just like was naturally attracting the right people. And I was like, what is going on here? Like, you've really done something amazing. And he would then come home and be like, am I doing the right thing? Like, what am I doing? Is this going to last? And I was like, are you joking? So one day I finally was like, listen, if you don't pursue this, I will buy it. We must not have been married at that point, but I was like,
no, I think we had gotten married, and I was like, we were living on your salary.
Yeah.
Cause I made no money. And I was like,
which was my decision. I was like,
yeah, no, I was like, I was super self-conscious about it. And I was like, oh man, I don't like, what am I doing with my life? And I need to support my family and do all this stuff. And kind of those same things I was thinking as a kid of like, I need something stable and safe and all this stuff. And I would always get in these moments of, man, this isn't going to work. I need to go try something else. And, but then Jordan was always, yeah, there was one day where you were just like, if you don't do it, I'm going to do it. And that kind of flipped a trigger in me to be like, oh man, Jordan really believes in this. I think like, I really got to see this thing through.
Yeah. So who inspires you or what inspires you now to like stay on this wild path?
Man, I think it's just, I love Nashville so much, and my favorite thing about Nashville are the people in Nashville, and just surrounded by really incredible people who are doing really crazy things. And I always say I would never have started Ranger Station if I wasn't in this city, because it didn't feel as crazy. Because I would look around and I'd see people starting companies and doing these, following their passions, and not all of them worked out, you know. Yeah. But they had kind of reached this place where they realized, hey, the worst case scenario isn't that I try something and it fails, but the worst case scenario is that I never try something. And but yeah, I'm just constantly inspired by people in Nashville, which really made us want to do like start sitting down and having these conversations. But I think, I mean, back to that same story, the first person that inspired me was you.
Oh, thank you.
No, it truly was. I mean, like, I was about to quit multiple times. And, but no, I mean, you so many times were just like, no, you have to do this thing. You have to make it happen. And, I mean, I've been trying to get you on the Ranger Station team ever since, and it finally happened in 2020. But no, it was cool. Like, I was in this place where I was, you know, I was leaving music, and I loved being around you because you were, well, we should get into how we met, right? Like, I love being around you because you were doing this, you were working for this amazing company, Able. You were this, we called your crew of people the Yo Pros, the young professionals, the musicians. That's what we called you.
Yeah, and going to Belmont, everyone was a musician and very cool and like grungy. And I was like in my cardigan and going to work after class every single day. I practically didn't go to college. I just worked.
Yeah. Which was so inspiring. I literally was like, this girl's going places. This girl's going places.
So nerdy.
Yeah. Yeah. I told when we first started dating, I told my mom that you were going to be president one day. So we'll work on that.
Oh man. Sorry.
No, we need that.
Put me
we
in.
We need that. But yeah, it was so when we, yeah, when I was starting Ranger Station, I was seeking out people that were just like inspiring to me. And you were the first one. I mean, you were the first champion of Ranger Station. You were the first one that, I mean, you built the first website. I got mad at you for building the first website and publishing it because I didn't feel like it was ready.
I published it and he got so mad at me. He was like,
one candle.
Yeah.
Literally one.
He was like, it's live. What do you mean? I was like, yeah, everyone has an email in their inbox. And he was so mad. But you know what?
I had to go make all those candles.
It worked.
All 15 of those candles that we sold.
It worked. And we've been through the phases of Steve making all the candles at his roommate's house, or me bringing Steve dinner at this tiny little studio while he's making candles, to us putting together candle boxes at our house, like while we're watching movies at night, trying to keep up with things. And here we are now with a podcast and with a really cool team and with really cool fragrances that people are wearing everywhere, all over the world. Actually, they're traveling with their perfume on and they have it in their homes, and it's just this really kind of like baffling thing.
I think we're baffled by it all the time, because it's like, I think it is, and a big reason why we wanted to do this Foregone Frontiers thing is like, I think this is a testament to, I mean, as cheesy as it sounds, but like, follow your dreams and do the scary thing and try it, because there, I mean, we try stuff all the time with Ranger Station that doesn't work, but it's like, I think the spirit behind trying this stuff and taking the big risks and you pushing me like to take the big risks, especially when my sixth self gets all like worried about it. It's
Enneagram six self.
I think we're both blown away by what Ranger Station has become. And I think it's just that we've surrounded ourselves with a team of people and a group of people who are willing to take the risks and go the road less traveled and do something for the sake of doing it rather than doing it as a means to an end.
Yeah. So something we talk a lot about is dying with memories, not dreams. That is something we talk about at Ranger Station. That's something we talk about personally. And what we mean by that is getting out there in the world, not having this list of things that you wished you did, right? But going for it. And with that too, we on Foregone Frontiers, what we've talked about with a lot of our guests is, what does legacy look like? What is your why? What is legacy for you?
I think it's exactly what you said, that idea that we come back to of, when I get to the end of my life, I want to look back and, you know, I want to die with a bunch of memories, not dreams. And if I have a dream, I want to try it. And not all of those are going to work out. And for me, the legacy piece, especially now that Jordan and I have two kids, and I think legacy for me is instilling in them a different idea of success and redefining it as compiling those memories. Because we don't get to take anything with us out of this world, right? It's like but the thing we do get to keep are the memories and the experiences that we make. I mean, we can work our asses off to do anything, and if all we have to show for it is money, it's like, so, I mean, you hear stories about it all the time, like where people aren't satisfied by that. But you look at the people that are most fulfilled in life, it's people that prioritize experience in doing things for the sake of doing it. And so when I look back at my life, that's what I want to see. I would hope that I have taken the risks and, you know, succeeded in some of them and failed in some of them, but more than anything for our kids, I would hope that they would be inspired to live their lives in a more meaningful way by prioritizing experience over what maybe the classic Western idea of success would be. Mm. So, yeah. What about you? What does legacy mean for you, Jordan?
I have so many thoughts. I want to see, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to like compile them in a complete way. But I mean, yesterday we spent the day outside with our kids for the entire day. We cooked pancakes on the grill outside. We built little stick houses. We compiled acorns. Like, it was a huge day. And they freaking loved it. And that is the, I mean, I feel like we've been given so much responsibility, and everyone has. This is our little world that we have responsibility of, but everyone else has been given gifts to steward. And for me, my legacy, I want to instill love and kindness into my kids and to the people around me. It's not just about us or what we do, or I don't know, any of those frivolous, dumb things. I would so much rather be building stick houses with my kids than go to some award ceremony, especially if we're getting an award, or something really cool for work. Like, I would so much rather be having those small moments with my family and my friends, and even like the impact that you can have through loving those around you is exponential, because then hopefully you make an impact on their lives. They make an impact on the next life. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think you did a great job of saying that.
Yeah. I also teared up. I was like, wow, we're taking it there. But I mean, I really, it sounds cheesy, but you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And I think, you know, that means that we need to steward this well. We have the opportunity and the gift to work hard in our world, but we also have the opportunity to make an impact on others. That's our kids, that's our friends and family. But, and also I didn't mention giving, like passing it forward, not holding on to what we have tightly. Is something that is so important. And we have people in our lives that do that really well. Some people on this podcast, that we're going to hear from do that really well. And I think that's one of the most important things we can do. 'Cause we are, all of us are so, if you're listening to this, like, you have a lot, and there's so much impact that you can make with what you have. Wow, I get really passionate about this. I am an 8 on the Enneagram.
That's why we're having these conversations, because you're passionate about it. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think, it's so cool. And I think it's, I mean, even as we're sitting here, this is the first episode, but we've had a handful of conversations already. And it's like, so many of the people that we've talked to and that we're seeking out to talk to and have these conversations with, like, they've done that so well, where they're prioritizing other people in their lives and just living life in a different way.
Yeah.
So I'm just, I'm so, so excited for Foregone Frontiers.
Yeah.
For all the conversations that we're having. It's just, it's been so inspiring to, like, honestly, every conversation that we've had so far, I've left feeling so filled up and inspired and full of life, and just like feeling, I don't know, it's so cool to leave these conversations that we're having with these individuals and just be like, man, they're doing something really special, and not just for themselves, like, very inspired by how they're living their lives, like, in, like, succeeding in a really cool way, but also just how they're impacting others.
Yeah.
And please follow along. Please listen to these conversations. Like, it's like, I know everybody's time is very valuable, and I would, you know, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. And I hope that these conversations are just like something that all anybody listening can really be inspired by these people and these conversations.
And we've got people with all different, you know, job, they're in all different industries. We've got a few musicians, obviously, because we're in Nashville. We've got people in hospitality, and we've got people in retail like us. They're all just really cool people that we admire. Some of them are dear friends of ours. Some of them are newer friends through business. But they're all really special. Our Foregone Frontiers team has like, actually we'll all leave and be like, what the, that was unbelievable. So it's a special thing. We hope you'll join us. We're so excited. Cheers.
Cheers.
To Foregone Frontiers.
Foregone Frontiers.
Season one, baby.
Episode one. Buckle up.